You're listening to AchieveRadio.com, the positive side of broadcasting.
Well, welcome. This is Michael Elizan, your host for The Cosmic Connection, one of many shows here on Achieve Radio. And as your host for Cosmic Connection, I have an opportunity to share a lot of information pertaining to the cosmic realms, to interactions with not only things happening on planet Earth, but also effects related to other planetary systems and the evidence related to extraterrestrial contact, UFOs, and those things that influence planet Earth. And as having had many personal experiences myself for many, many years, I've had a chance to share information with many people, doing many public presentations. And today's show, in fact, is the start of a three-part series called The Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory. That's right, Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory. I'm going to be taking you through insights regarding the different masters, different beings who are part of a series of worlds. In fact, many people have asked me the question, is there in fact a hierarchy of worlds? Are there beings who kind of hold positions? And that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about today and in the next 2 weeks, a three-part series, Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, to give you, the listener, a little understanding, a little background pertaining to the, shall we say, system of worlds and how different universal laws operate, that there are councils of light, there is higher authority, that we on this planet Earth have to also ultimately answer to. In fact, any action taking place in the universe, we have to consider the implications of those actions. And here on Achieve Radio also, one of the things we like to emphasize, as well as higher forces like to emphasize this, is the fact that we take personal responsibility for our actions. Kind of like the old-fashioned, God helps those who help themselves principle. I think that is in operation in all levels of the universe. And I think this is something we emphasize in the other two programs, and Aurora Light and Healthy Habits. We discuss, of course, health issues and information that will help activate, protect, and empower the individual. And on Gary Voss's program, Progressive Technology, we like to discuss things that are going to improve the planet. They're going to uplift society, going to help in a very humanitarian way. It's kind of like what we'd call user-friendly. And I think it's very important that we come from that point, and the masters always like to use the term that to maximize our potential, to help us become more empowered, and help us become more interdependent, which is a state beyond independence, where we recognize our individual capacity for progress. But it's also nice to recognize that we have a good cosmic backup team when push comes to shove sometimes. And I myself and Aurora and Gary, those of us that we often refer to as star people, volunteers in Earth embodiment, we have had many personal experiences when we recognize cases of divine intervention, something that you can't explain in a normal, mundane sense, something out of the norm intervened in your life. And for myself, having been introduced at a very early age, in fact, from the time that I was born, I was very aware of the fact, to me being a fact and a reality, having had physical contact, two physical times being taken aboard what I call the Great Merkabah light ships, interacting with these beautiful beings, and also having been trained by my Earth father, who was a professional stage hypnotist, who in fact had studied the life of Edgar Cayce, the famous channel psychic Edgar Cayce, and discovered the fact that Edgar Cayce was actually activated by a hypnotist, that there was a way to activate, to develop a person into becoming a channel. And one of my missions was to become what I would call a cosmic telephone line. And the fact that there are many, many beings who have a lot of concern, who have a lot of care about this planet, who want to intervene in a more dramatic way here shortly, who make up what I call the who's who in the cosmic directory, beings who care about us, who love us, who want to intervene, help us help ourselves, not to take away our responsibilities, but to help us help ourselves come up with solutions and positive orientations that will make a difference in society. And that's the condition of balance between free will and interference. Where do you draw that line? And I think when we become aware of the fact that there is a hierarchy of worlds, levels of responsibility, and it makes sense that there would be kind of a chain of command. It's not that any being is better or it's more special than any other being. That's something I want to emphasize this today and the following 2 weeks and the other two parts of the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory. But that these beings love to intervene and help us. And I think it's natural for us to want to help one another, not only on this planet, but especially more advanced worlds where there isn't the restrictions, where there isn't the cover-ups, where there isn't a suppression of both knowledge and technologies and solutions to our problems. This society would be far more ahead technologically as well as spiritually in so many ways. Sociologically, it would be quite a change. But I want to give a little background regarding the who's who in the Cosmic Directory. And also I do a slideshow presentation for those who would also be interested in sponsoring me. And I do will be doing a DVD visual presentation of this too as well. But today and the next 2 weeks, we're making this and the next 2 weeks available also for people who would like to get a copy of this as well. And there are a couple phone numbers, in fact, I want to give you that you can also call. You can leave, if I don't answer the phone, you can leave a message, and I always get back with people. And there are two numbers. One is 480-596-8440. And then we also have, I have a cell phone number, which is 310-800-8448. Again, those two numbers are 480-596-8440 and also my cell phone 310-800-8448. And you can go to my website, channelforthemasters.com. That's channelforthemasters, F-O-R-themasters.com. And you'll also see a list of what is called the star people characteristics, because I think most of the people who are drawn to this reality, often when they take a look at that list for the first time, they realize that they actually have many of those, and we've covered in other shows. In fact, last week I covered about the star people, and the week before as well, about the reality of many of us who are connected genetically, biologically in a sense, with more advanced extraterrestrial beings. This planet has been, shall we say, have had a lot of interaction with extraterrestrials. There's evidence that many of the great civilizations were started by that. And so today and the next 2 weeks, as we cover the who's who in the Cosmic Directory, I'm going to go through and cover a background on some of the beings. I'm going to kind of divide up. And there are millions of beings, billions of infinite beings who belong to the who's who in the Cosmic Directory. It's kind of like the who's who, as we say on Earth. Well, these are beings who embody great spiritual qualities, as much as their technology is as advanced as their consciousness, awareness, what I call Elohim technology. It's their love. It's their light. It's their fellowship that they belong to that consists of this spiritual hierarchy of worlds. And that's one of the questions that people often ask me in my presentations, as I mentioned. Is there a hierarchy of worlds? Is there a organization, so to speak, that these beings belong to? Do they have certain things in common? And that's something that's very clear, having had physical interaction with them, having channeled them all my life, how much love, how much care they have about this planet, how they want to step in a little more openly here very soon. Once we are, shall we say, there isn't interference to this open contact as there has been for most of the years and since I've been alive on this planet, this final lifetime, that it's been obvious that there's been a suppression and a cover-up as regard the cover-up of UFOs and extraterrestrial contact. There's been an attempt to suppress information from the public. And yet, having spoken to many people in what is be termed military intelligence, which is really not kind of an oxymoron term when you think about that, it's a dichotomy in a way, because if you're really an intelligent person, one of the most important things that comes to you is the realization that war and all of the conditions of war are really illogical. When you can find many ways to find peace, if you sit down at a council table, as these beings do, who belong to major councils of light, and discuss and have an intent to find a common resolution, then there are always ways to break through so-called barriers, to break through so-called walls. And I think that's one of the most important things to realize, that what allows one to be a member of actually an intergalactic confederation or a universal federation of worlds, a universal alliance of peace, as they refer to themselves quite common often in the who's who in the Cosmic Directory, that what makes a member of this higher, these higher organizations is their desire for peace, is their desire to find resolution and to find ways to meet, shall we say, to respect the different vast numbers of intergalactic diversities that exist on the higher worlds. And that's something that Ashtar, one of the first beings I want to talk about today, referred to as a major member of the Intergalactic Confederation, who is in fact in charge of a group, a command. They have commands called the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds. And I'm going to do another show eventually about the true origins of Star Trek. That's a whole interesting show in itself. How Gene Roddenberry really didn't come up with the idea himself. He actually stole or took the information from another contact. He used to live here in Phoenix, Arizona, named Jacques Dreybier, a French aviator who during World War II over Italy in Europe, he experienced interactions with extraterrestrial beings, both in their craft and connecting with them on a personal level. Later on, it began to open up as a channel, and it became very clear, and he learned information about and started waking up about his cosmic past. And when I do channelings for people, that's one of the services I offer, is transformational channelings that not only give you insight on your galactic origins, where your soul came from, but also insights about certain lifetimes on and off the planet that are relevant to your present life mission and purpose, why you volunteered actually to be on Earth, to come into human embodiment and ultimately uplift the planet. And there are characteristics that I mentioned called the star people characteristics as a result of that. And Jacques Dravier opened up and began to remember the fact that he had come on a mission to this planet. And to make a long story short, which as I said in a later show, I will be going in depth about that, but he opened up and began to remember his cosmic past. And eventually, after the end of the World War II, he eventually immigrated to the United States and opened up a metaphysical group. And eventually, to make a long story short, Gene Roddenberry found out about this information, sent some of his writers and scriptwriters to these meetings that he had opened to the public when he opened up this meeting in Hollywood, California. And next thing you know, a few years later, Star Trek came on TV. And actually, a lot of the things that were shown in those first episodes were directly related to what Jacques Dravier had shared. But of course, leaving a lot of the spiritual and metaphysical higher consciousness aspects of it out, only more of a kind of shoot it up kind of thing. But it was still based on the reality that there's actually a federation of worlds that these beings belong to, and of his interactions and understanding those universal laws of non-interference. I've discussed this in other shows, and I will be discussing it more in the future. And this is something that brings these different beings who are planetary heads of state, we can say, who are the spiritual leaders of the different planetary systems, and they represent the people in a true sense. And one of the things I've often mentioned in the councils, that unlike on planet Earth, in recent Earth political elections, for example, they don't have things like vote fraud, vote scam, where they manipulate the elections for hidden agendas. It seems to be so prevalent in recent times. Well, many of the candidates who really would bring change to the people and help the people are often suppressed, or their votes are manipulated and things like this. Well, I wanted to discuss a little bit about some of the beings who comprise, who are just a few of the many millions of members that I would call more well-known. And when I do this slideshow presentation, I want to give also mention a little bit of background of the slideshow presentation that I also do, and I'm open to being sponsored for the visual effects of what I'm going to be talking about auditorily today, that you will hear also in the CD that is produced from this as well. It's important, though, to get some background, and I just wanted to mention that some of the images that you'll see also at my website, channelforthemasters.com, that a very famous clairvoyant artist named Soleil Winkler painted of just a few. He actually painted hundreds and actually thousands of these images that are huge oil portraits that I eventually made into the slideshow. And I got to know her, and it was late 70s, early 80s, when I first connected with Soleil Winkler. And her background was interesting. She started out as a Walt Disney Studio artist when the early times of animation back in the 1930s and 40s were starting up. And she went to work, as she always did, and sat down at her desk to begin to sketch and do paintings for the animation sequences. And as she was sitting there all of a sudden, expecting it to be the same old mundane day doing these kinds of art, then doing many, many images that would be used in the animation sequences, all of a sudden, as she shares the story, her clairvoyance was activated. And suddenly, she's seeing this great ascended master. I was standing there looking at her, and she was looking at him, and he was smiling. Very famous ascended master known as Saint Germain. And he said to her, "I've come to pose for your brush." Now, we know that many famous personages have posed for the brush as a very famous, or at least who became famous artists, often after they pass on, because of the work they did. And in this case, it was kind of sense that she became a little well-known when she was alive. But I think since she's passed on and having had the chance to share her work with many other people, I think she's gained many people have become to hear about her and some of the work and contributions she did to introducing us to the who's who in the cosmic directory. And right before she passed on or made her ascension off the planet, she said to me, you're welcome to use these images to reintroduce everybody to who some of our friends are in high places. And as I like to say, often use the expression, there are no strangers, but friends reconnecting. I want you to think about that, what I just said. There are no strangers but friends reconnecting, or what we call my extended cosmic family, beings who care about us, who love us. And that's one thing that when you take a look at these images and you really tune in, especially the original ones, even though these are copies, the ones at my website, just a few of many of the ones she did, and even a few compared to the total number that I do in my slideshow presentation. But you get a sense of the feelings of love, the vibrations, the energies you feel they're emanating from these images. And it's interesting because the original images that she did, when they, at one place many, many years ago, they used to house a few of them, when you'd walk into the room and you would walk around the room, the eyes of the beings would kind of follow you. Very interesting effect. You could feel their presence, their personality in a sense, because the personality is very divine. And that's one thing about these beings. Even though the way in which she painted them made them look a little similar, some people have commented on that, you could still notice the distinct differences in personality. And she also tended to paint past life aspects that would sometimes come through. She'd paint the same being several different ways, but related to different energies and backgrounds that they experienced. But what I want to do right now is take you through kind of down memory, cosmic memory lane, in the sense of what some of these beings have contributed. And this week and the next 2 weeks, the way in which I'm going to share about these beings and the one after another, it has nothing to do with the beings that I cover this week being any more important than the beings I'm going to cover the following week or the week thereafter. I just happen to pick up some of the different beings, and I will talk about different ones. And again, I want to emphasize this, not to be redundant, that this week and part one of Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, as well as part two and part three of Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, I'm not presenting them in the manner at which gives them more importance to one another. They're all technically equal to one another. They hold different positions relative to different responsibilities, and they consider themselves in their councils, when they look across the council table, as they wish to treat us in the same way, not better or superior to. That's not how. It's like when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, or other great spiritual masters that have been on earth that I will also refer to. They did not refer to themselves in any way superior to. They came to inspire. They were in fellowship with their disciples and their chelas and those who were followers of their belief systems. This was before, of course, many dogmatic religious teachings came about. I think that all the great religions on the planet, all the great philosophies that have inspired us, started out very beautiful, very inspiring. But what happens to these belief systems often go through a lot of changes. And sometimes group religions are formed off the beautiful but powerful spiritual origins of what become religion that were originally taught to inspire, to empower us, rather than create codependency, making us dependent upon, or that the beings or the God force represents a punishment or a wrathful judgmental force. I don't relate to that. I never have. And this is how they define. They refer with great respect to a divine energy, a divine creative force. We can call it the I am that I am, divine intelligence, the Father, Mother, God energy. There's many different references to a force that permeates the entire universe. And they represent these different beings, levels, and a chain of command, not like as on a military sense on earth, better than or superior to, but they hold positions to uphold the balance and order of the universe. Now, that's a very simple way of describing it. And they appreciate and they enjoy that opportunity to hold that position. So because of great respect to the way the universal systems operate, that there's a system of worlds and there has to be order and balance, which is the opposite of chaos. And we notice on this planet that many of those in positions of power have manipulated themselves into get into those positions. They don't represent the people's needs. And that's something that these beings wish to offer, to help us, to aid us, to assist us, not to hold our hand and do it for us, but to provide cosmic backup. And I do believe they are going to be more openly intervening here shortly, because they feel obligated when free will gets out of hand, when, shall we say, corruption and all these other things that seem to have ruled on this planet get to a point that Mother Earth's very essence is threatened with survival. That's when they step in. So that's what they're going to be doing more and more, is offering their help and aid in a more overt, open way. And it's really wonderful to know, having had physical contact with them, having had my life actually saved many, many times, because one of my missions has been to expose government cover-ups on realities of UFOs and extraterrestrial contact, and also about the fact there's vast technologies, as Gary talks about in his show, progressive technology, and things that Aurora talks about, and healthy habits, techniques and tools that will activate, protect, and empower us, that will elevate our awareness, that will give us special, shall we say, spiritual powers that will transform the planet. These things seem to threaten some of the forces on this planet, who seem to have ulterior motives and why they suppress information. And knowledge empowers us. And this is what these beings are coming from, is they want to offer their aid and assistance in very powerful, overt ways and to work with people. And that's what I do also when I do channeling classes with people, to introduce through channeling how these beings can intervene, both in very, very powerful ways and more subtle ways. So one of the first beings I want to talk about is Lord Ashtar. He's just one of, as I said, many members of the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory. And I will give a little bit of background on him. He's been around me probably most of my life, from almost the time I was born. I felt his presence, and he began to introduce himself as I began to grow up. And I became aware of his background, and one of the first people that he channeled through was a very famous contactee named George Van Tassel, who had a place out in Yucca Valley, Joshua Tree, Giant Rock Airport, back in the 1950s. And he used to hold these big flying saucer conventions, as they were called, where all the contactees who had physical contact with the human-appearing ETs, referred to very respectfully as the Space Brothers, or the boys topside, there were different terms. But the word Space Brother was a respectful term. And I've discussed this, how this word has been used to by the many people in the UFO community, agents of disinformation, as kind of a word that means kind of a cultish blind following or some, you know, religion that was created. No. This was a word that was a respectful term. The Space Brothers and Sisters, referring to very human-appearing, benevolent beings who had concerns about this planet, who wanted to step in and help us. But Ashtar channeled through George Van Tassel, actually on July 18, 1952, and then he began to channel through other channels later on in contact with other contactees. But George Van Tassel was a very famous contactee, and it was through George Van Tassel that a device called the Integratron was actually developed that was eventually supposed to be used for rejuvenation purposes. But the interesting thing about that experience on July 18th after Ashtar channeled through him was Ashtar even mentioned the fact that there was going to be kind of a show of force and that would be put on to demonstrate the fact that the higher beings were very firm about certain universal principles that had to do with keeping peace in the universe. And because the officials of Earth, as they were developing nuclear weapons, coming up with all kinds of what we call black op weapon systems for control and manipulation, these beings, these Space Brothers, these higher cosmic masters, ascended masters, and other levels and realms were very concerned about the misuse and applying of technologies. And so they put on a show of force 24 hours later over in our nation's capital. Or if you go back to the archives, you'll see it headlines, flying saucers over the Capitol building, flying saucers over the White House. That was the Ashtar command, putting on a little show to making it very clear that these beings meant business. They wanted to make it clear, put on a show of force, and it's kind of like GM out in force, so to speak, with extraterrestrial Merkabah vehicles of light, that we live in a vast intergalactic community. And it was time for the officials of Earth to recognize responsibility, that there's a set of laws called the Galactic Pacts, that these beings were not allowed, would not allow that these laws to be interfered with, letting this planet be destroyed. So there was a definite sense of responsibility. And Ashtar made it very, very clear. And there's been many, many channels have opened up who have channeled Ashtar. I've been channeling him most of my life. When I do a personal transformational session with a person, he's usually the being who channels through me first. And they put me on this energy beam, just like George Van Tassel had a similar energy beam on him. And they channel down DNA, RNA, higher light encodements that help to activate your DNA, RNA, and open you up so that you can also become a channel. But these are very transformational sessions, and he enjoys empowering the light workers. And he's also told me that most everybody I'll connect with through these sessions, he has crossed paths with either millions of years ago or sometime in the councils. As he says, no strangers, but friends reconnecting. So he's a very powerful being. Another being I want to discuss is Archangel Michael. And he's gotten around. He's, of course, through religions, he's been quite well known. He's one of the major archangels who have responsibility of helping evolve this earth to help make sure that the divine will, he's the director of the Blu-ray, and which is what is also part of what's called the threefold flame, and he referred to in the Ascended Master teachings about the threefold, the blue, the gold, and the pink. And he's a guardian to the Blu-ray, and he makes sure that the divine blueprint is upheld. And he emphasizes about using his great sword, which represents an aspect of authority to cut through all of the karma, cut through all of the conditions of negativity, and restore order to the planet. restore the divine will of there being a golden age where all imbalanced energies will cease to be. So he's a guardian. I worked a lot with him. It's because one of my experiences of growing up and being part of missions to uncover and expose government cover-ups and expose things that would, shall we say, be a threat to imbalanced duality energies and forces, I was attacked a lot and many times. And you kind of realize before you come on missions to Earth that there will be these moments. So sometimes when you're on the front lines in the spiritual war of consciousness and you're getting truth out there that awakens people, that frees them up from, you know, forces that seem to oppress us. These forces do not like this. And it's my premise that we can't put our head in the sand. We can't confuse discernment with judgment, as some light workers do, and say, well, I just want to, you know, have it all love and light. Well, yes, love and light is the always greater power than the imbalanced energies. But we still have to take responsibility. And he emphasizes personal responsibility, being the guardian. Not to attach to it, but being the guardian to the opportunity. And if we stand our ground and we base our life on principles, ideals and principles that we would call universal ethical standards of right and wrong, then there's always balance and there's always order. But if we ignore these laws and we engage in activity which is contrary to those sacred principles, then also we experience karma. That's just, you reap what you sow. So Archangel Michael brings through a lot of strength of character and a need to embrace and to embody the qualities that enhance the forces of life that are sacred. And so he's a very powerful guardian. You can call on him and intervenes immediately in all situations. He helps to bring in what's called the cosmic law of grace. Now, Saint Germain is another great master that I worked a lot with, as a well-known in many of the Ascended Master teachings. The Ascended Master Saint Germain, who works with the violet purple ray of divine transmutation, alchemical transmutation, is a guardian to the violet fire. And you can call on him the ray of freedom. He has the title of the God of Freedom. And he loves to intervene and cut also, working with Archangel Michael, he works to help you get rid of what he called spiritual adhesion contracts, where we often in past lives and past situations, sometimes we agree to something because we don't know our other options. It's kind of like our cosmic civil rights or our civil rights or our cosmic rights that we as citizens of this country and of this planet are often, and right now I see a lot of them having been violated by certain power, you know, that's presently in power on this planet. And Saint Germain wants to remind us that we are guardians to our freedoms, that if we don't know our rights, do we have any? And we need to study the Constitution. We need to remind ourselves about what our founding fathers really created as kind of a launching pad for the new age, a place for people to come together and to present their unique differences, but still find a common ground that will unite us all. So he emphasizes the aspect of the fact that we're here to transform this planet. And using the techniques of the violet fire, we can transmit any condition that we're facing. We cut through the planetary red tape and get on with those things that we need to accomplish. So he's a guardian of truth, and there's been many instances that he's intervened in planetary history. There's been many famous earth lives he's had. From the time as Samuel the prophet, he was incarnated as Joseph, the biological guardian to Jesus when he was fulfilling his mission. He was Sir Francis Bacon, Roger Bacon, and there's also evidence that as Count Saint Germain in the 18th century, he appeared before our forefathers. And I've even talked to people who've been in the military, military intelligence agents, who told me, locked at the National Archives in the minutes of the meeting, as a mention of their magnificent being appeared on the balcony when they had written the Constitution, but they hadn't actually signed it, when imbalanced forces tried to work on their minds and make them doubt that a constitutional republic would be successful. And so he appeared suddenly in the balcony, and he gave this very inspiring speech for about 3 or 4 minutes, and he ended it with, "Sign that document!" And then he dematerialized, which I'm told he actually did many times, appear and disappear. And if you look at the back of the $2 bill, the being with the hat on is Saint Germain. It's very interesting. And so in the 18th century, he tried to form a constitutional republic and eventually worked with the forefathers to inspire them and to form one over here that had a certain destiny that would bring about great changes on the planet. Of course, we see many of the imbalanced economic, political forces who are opposed to this for aspect of freedom trying to interfere and block this. But I'm told that ultimately light will and freedom will succeed in Saint Germain's plan and what he calls the great victory will finally be successful. So that's very important to call in him. Now, Lord Jesus Christ S.U.H. Sananda is a cosmic name. There's quite a bit I could talk about him, like many of the great masters who came to this planet to inspire us, not to create religious dogma. I believe that what he taught and his other half, Mary Magdalene, there's a lot of evidence, I know it's controversial for some, that the reason the Knight Templars were formed originally, because they wanted to protect knowledge that they found when they went over to the Holy Land and discovered information that had been withheld, which is why they became a real threat to the church. They had found sacred knowledge that verified that there was actually a lineage that came down from that time, and they had formed themselves as guardians. Now, eventually they got infiltrated somewhat, and was whether it was the church trying to disband them or the Illuminati that wanted to control them. And they didn't want to be controlled by anybody, but just be the guardians of who they were. And eventually the Masons became the kind of the descendants of them, but all of these different organizations and mystery schools eventually became infiltrated, it seems, by certain imbalanced energies. But they started out with a very positive reason, as guardians to protect sacred knowledge. And I believe that Jesus, whose cosmic name is Sananda, in fact, when I was 8 years of age, he appeared to me in a cosmic way. First, he appeared in the archetype thought form, in the long-haired robes and sandals, disappeared and reappeared, and let's just say his appearance was definitely more galactic-oriented. And it became very clear to me that his whole mission 2,000 years ago was definitely a prelude to what was to come, that Christ consciousness was coming to Earth. And there was a lot of interesting things that he shared that I feel was from a very, shall we say, universal point of view, that he came at a point because of the Aquarian Age densification, which Saint Germain, of course, embodies. Some people say Saint Germain was kind of the master of the Aquarian Age, but Jesus, Sananda being his cosmic name, and I often refer to him as our commander-in-chief connected with the Universal Federation, that I believe very strongly that Saint John had as a oracle, actually in those times, had a vision of the great motherships, the great, you know, descent of many of the, or what some call the descent of the dove, that there was definite emphasis being placed metaphysically and cosmically about many major events that could only be described with earth terminology, biblical terminology. How do you describe cosmic technology? How do you describe galactic light ships and describe them as clouds of heaven? And I believe that when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, when you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, I think he referred to a galactic event that has been religiously interpreted and dogma has been added as a way of controlling everybody. But what Jesus taught was not a fear-based philosophy. He was very connected with the Essenes and the Gnostics, and I believe, just like today, what we call the New Age people have been harassed in a sense by the religious fundamentalists who try to force religion down our throats. But I think that all of these beings adhere to what I call the religion of life, the golden rule. Treat each other fairly, with respect. Respect different diversities, but find ways to uplift society. And I think that's what Jesus and Buddha and all the great masters I will be covering during these series of the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, I think that's their MO, that they come to inspire us, to release the conditions of negativity and guilt and all the things that religion has controlled us by, and get back to the basics of the religion of life, the golden rule, and how we treat each other, and how we embody the what some would call the Christ flame, and be an example, and be a wayshower, and to fulfill a divine drama that's been played out for eons upon this planet. And these different beings, like Georgius Christ, and different ones have been here to show us that way, but we're not a blind following, but to inspire us that we can all, when he said, all he do, show do, and more, to me really emphasizes a philosophy that's very pragmatic, it's very practical, and something that is embodied in all the planetary systems who belong to these higher councils. Now, being that I also had physical contact with in 1979 when I was taken aboard, the last time, March 25th of 79, was Commander Corton. And when he appeared to me on the ship, it was kind of interesting because the image that Soleil Winkler painted of him shows him with long hair. And I've seen him appear that way, and I've seen him with shorter hair. They can shapeshift a little bit and wear different types of outfits. And as a Soleil Winkler, as I mentioned earlier, painted them in different ways. But Corton, who works with two other beings called Raymir and Andromeda Rex, and they are communication specialists. And when I do channeling classes with people, Corton will appear, often will appear, I can feel his presence, and he'll overshadow the channeling class, and where I teach people how to channel. Because you know, technically we're all channeling life force, it's just learning to interpret the signals. And a very famous channel named Tuwela many years ago published a book called The Dynamics of Cosmic Telepathy. And I use that book, often referred to it as kind of a handbook, because she presented different dynamics. And this is another workshop that I do that I'm always open to being sponsored for, as well as the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory slideshow of the different masters. And this is a class that teaches you how to channel. And Corton and Raymir and Andromeda Rex really love to activate your greater channeling ability. Again, let me repeat that. We're all channeling life force. It's just learning to interpret the signals, whether we call it psychic or intuitive. I mean, it's interesting when I hear people call themselves mentalists and who claim to use some kind of mental sleight of hand rather than the fact that they're psychic and clairvoyant and they're tuning in. They call it mentalist. It's just interesting when you watch shows like Phenomena. And I said, who are they? You know, they want to make it sound like, oh, it's not psychic at all. You know, but yet, how do they, you know, they say it's just some mental sleight of hand, but there are many millions of different type of psychic, spiritual, intuitive abilities. Everybody has different type of abilities. Some of them overlap. There's millions and millions of different, shall we say, capacities and abilities that we all naturally have, and it varies with each person. And to intellectualize it, and because though they have the ability, as long as it's something, I guess, that can be controlled or utilized by the government, I guess, that's okay, call it a mentalist. But if somebody develops their psychic abilities, like when they took away the funding from Duke University, they don't want us to develop abilities that might allow us to tune into what the government's involved in, or agendas or things that they don't want us to know. So it seems that's okay if they call it a mentalist kind of thing. But it's just interesting, different degrees of this. So Cartan teaches how to open up the synaptic centers of the brain, and he says that the synaptic centers and also the electrolytes in our blood platelets are two main receiving mechanisms in our physical body. And if we eat healthy, and that's something that Aurora covers on her show, Healthy Habits, there are things you can do to build up your immune system, make your body, your pH alkaline, and your immune system strong, and your auric fields powerful. That's a powerful combination that allows you to tap in and utilize your abilities and skills. And Cortan has taught me and taught me a lot about techniques and tools for activation, protection, and empowerment. He likes to empower you. And that's one of the things that they really enjoy in being of service to humanity. And I have actually many times seen his ship shooting through the sky many times as kind of a confirmation of things. He has a ship called the Rainbow Ship. And many times when you look up in the night sky, actually, if you know where the position of the stars and planets are through high-power telescopes, even without high-power telescopes, just looking up there, you'll see what looks like bright, colorful stars flickering in the atmosphere. And then a night or two later, when they're not in that position, it's obviously not a star. Stars don't move around the sky that fast. But a lot of natural phenomena, the word phenomena is used a lot lately, actually has some very powerful, very common practical explanations. Oftentimes when you see these termed lenticular clouds up there, which are actually saucer-shaped clouds, the ships will be in what would be called the etheric mode, a higher dimensional mode, and they've ionized a cloud around it. But they appear that way, and they're helping to clean out things like the chemtrails, all these chemical pollutants that the government is throwing into our atmosphere, just like they did back in the 1950s. Many times when the green fireballs were sighted, those are actually Merkaba light ships taking the radiation out of the atmosphere. They do a lot of work like this. So Cortan and Remira and Andromeda Rex, I've called them many times when I need them to overshadow. I'm being held on the telephone for a long time, and it seems like it's taking a long time, and I'll ask them, hey, can you overshadow this and speed this up? Within a matter of moments, somebody will come on the line. Maybe coincidence, but now they do have the ability sometimes when you really need them to back you up, they can help you out. Now, Lady Clarion is one of the many female masters, cosmic ascended lady masters, space commandresses, goddesses, ladies of light that are equal to those of the more masculine polarity. And they hold position with their other halves. And when Lord Jesus Christ and I mentioned, actually his other half, Lady Nada, who is Mary Magdalene, Archangel Michael's other half is Lady Faith, Saint Germain's other half is Lady Portia. And Lady Portia is known as the goddess of justice and opportunity. And Lady Clarion is the spiritual leader of the planet Clarion. And that's where all the major healing capacities, healing abilities that were actually brought to this planet, every form of holistic types of knowledge, types of healing technologies, things like even yoga, certain physical exercises, knowledge about health and well-being, holistic knowledge, technology of rejuvenation, that is all from the planet Clarion, the Clarion system. And it's interesting, there was a famous contactee in the 1950s named Truman Bethlehem, who worked on the Mormon Mesa out in the desert. And he had contact with a space sister named Aura Raines. I read the book. And it was very interesting. And she claimed to have come from the planet Clarion. And this is the planet Lady Clarion, as a spiritual leader, is in charge over. She holds major positions in the councils. And again, there are councils for every star system, as there is galactic councils for the entire galactic system. that Alpha and Omega, very powerful cosmic beings, preside over. Helios and Vesta, I'm going to talk about him later. And next week is the solar logos of this solar system, and they preside over the solar tribunal. So Lady Clarianne has presented, has contributed a lot of healing knowledge, and she's a very beautiful being who is very loving and very, very similar to another being named Lady Master Venus, which I'm going to cover here in just a little bit. But she is one of many of the feminine masters who, as I said, are equal and then some with those of the masculine polarity. And Kuthumi is a very famous ascended earth master who's been around me most of my life. He worked with the gold ray of divine wisdom, part of the threefold flame. And Kuthumi had a couple very famous lifetimes, actually, back to when he had a lifetime as Pythagoras, also when he was St. Francis, and also the builder of the Taj Mahal, the famous Taj Mahal in India. And when he was Pythagoras, the knowledge seems to be that he was working more of a left brain kind of aspect, even though the right and left brain, when it's balanced, you can be very intuitive, like great geniuses like Nikola Tesla, and yet your left brain allows you to be analytical. You can say very pragmatic, but you also can be very intuitive. You have a very pragmatic synthesis of life. But as Pythagoras, he brought forth certain understanding mathematically about reality, and help to define the analytical process, getting past superstition and all of the things that keep us bound and controlled in a sense. But when we have our right and left brain very balanced, then we can pursue spiritual things without it becoming a cult or get off the, you know, track, become imbalanced. And so as when he came in as St. Francis, he was emphasizing more of the right brain intuitive sense, and he went over to the Crusades and was connected with the Knight Templars also. When he threw his sword down and said, "I will fight my brothers no longer," because he saw that war, which is often used for religious manipulation or profit or all of the manipulations that can occur, war being the cover for other activity, and being aware of the fact that things had been discovered by the Knight Templars, the fact that there was a lot of knowledge that's been withheld. So he formed the Franciscan Order because he felt that all life had right to survive. And many of those who have lived a very, very strict vegetarian or vegan type of life, which I actually pursued for many years myself, where I found being too strict, sometimes it's a little hard to ground yourself. So sometimes we need to kind of alter our diets relative to that. But he formed the Franciscan Order, and women were also allowed, as men were, within that order. But it was very much a mercy and compassion toward all life. And that was an embodiment to really emphasize the need to be compassionate to all things. So Kuthumi had a lot of contribution being given to this planet about the very compassionate lifestyle that so often in the hustle bustle of civilization, and to get ahead or to progress, sometimes in the more modern sense of technology and progression, is often left out in the equation. So he was kind of getting back to basic factors of compassionate nature, because if we lose our spirituality, we lose our compassionate connection, what's the use to have technology when it's used only in a destructive purpose? So, and he was also one of the, quote, three wise men during the time of Christ. He helped participate in that drama of when he, one of the three wise men, astrologers, men of wisdom coming over where Jesus Ananda was born and actually beamed into his birth mother's womb, and a new race came into being at that time. A great star guided them. Well, I believe it was I believe the Bible is a UFO extraterrestrial casebook. That's another presentation, another time, but I believe that if we look at all the major teachings, even the Rama and Bhagavad Gita, many of the ancient traditions are descriptions of extraterrestrial craft and higher masters operating. Now, Lord Sanakamura and his other half, Lady Master Venus, have contributed a lot to this planet. And one another being I'm going to talk at another time, Lord Gautama Buddha was very much connected with taking over the work of Lord Sanakamura. But to briefly share the story, when the coming of what has been called the 144,000 original core group of volunteer members came to Earth, it was Lord Sanakamura who came up with a plan of divine intervention, connected with the planet Clarianne, because this Earth was set up as a karmic training school. Basically, at the end of great cosmic cycles, just similar like the analogy of a schoolroom on Earth, there's always, most of the students will, well, depending on how they teach them and how, shall we say, balanced the student is, most of the students will graduate and evolve on to new grades, so to speak. Now, that's sometimes a bad analogy, since so much of half and partial truths are taught in public schools, and much of history has been manipulated, knowledge has been suppressed. Nevertheless, the analogy being that at the schoolrooms of life in the higher world, most of the higher beings who are part of the who's who in the cosmic directory progress and evolve. And there's always a small group that are, quote, lagging behind in evolution. called a laggard. It's not a critical term. It just means that some beings are slower learners. So there's always a few planets set up as places for these souls to progress and evolve without slowing up the rest of the world. So Earth was set up and was colonized by the Elohim. Later on, the Anunnaki and the Nephilim, reptilian forces, came here. But the Elohim were the original creator gods and goddesses and set this planet up as a goal, as a paradise. Well, a group called the Draconians came to Earth when there had been a rebellion, which Archangel Michael and his legions of light fought. There was a war in the heavens, and eventually Earth came under control by this element. But before they came under control, it was a beautiful paradise world. And because the laggards who were living here, because they weren't able to graduate on the more advanced worlds, their level of wisdom, discernment, and insights wasn't the same level that would have allowed them to discern certain imbalanced energies and duality that started to take this planet over. There was an infiltration of the priesthood, and the planet began to sink to some very negative levels of pain and suffering. And the planet Venus was actually pulled into the solar system. It wasn't just some, shall we say, act of a planet being pulled as a comet. That's what Earth astronomers say. And in a sense, it was a comet, but it had life on that, on the higher dimensions. And it was actually by an intelligent decision, an intelligent action. It wasn't just an accidental event that it was pulled into the solar system, positioned where it was, at where it has been, as a base for a group called the Karmic Board to balance out the karma on Earth, to help speed up the evolution. And it came about that when these imbalanced forces took over this planet and the Earth sank to a very negative level, Sennachamor, the Lord of Venus, and his other half, Lady Master Venus, looked down on Earth and saw the amount of suffering. And Sennachamor, being a very compassionate being, came before the councils, the Galactic Council, and said, "I want to go and intervene on Earth." And the decision came about, they said, if you get enough volunteers willing to put aside their immortal physical light bodies, the powers and abilities of the Elohim, come into human embodiment, see through human eyes, hear through human ears, we will allow this. So he sent out what has been called the Great Clarion Call, or as the old saying, many are called and few are chosen. Those of you who are star people who have come here many times, you chose to be chosen by putting aside your powers, by actually sacrificing our abilities, and making a vow that no matter how many lifetimes it took until the job was done, we would keep coming back. And it took actually to 1956, as I'll be discussing in another part to the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, when Lord Buddha took over the help of the light workers to ground the light. Over 51% of light had gained the upper hand, but we still had a lot of work to do to ultimately bring in the Golden Age and help the Earth make an ascension, which is starting to go through the ascension process right now to become a higher dimensional world. But that was what Lord Sennachamor contributed until 1956. He went back to Venus to be with his other half, Lady Master Venus, to contribute, having contributed a lot. And we who came as 144,000, thank God this is our final lifetime. We've been coming aid and assistance to this planet for eons of time. And finally now, some point after 2012, we're going to see the major shift. It's been prophesied. We've been preparing. We're getting closer to that moment. And so Lord Sennachamor contributed quite a bit. And another being I'm going to quickly mention here is a being named Lord Rokon. Now, I don't have an image of him, but he has appeared many times in my channelings when I give channelings to people who are very creative, people who are artistic and who are very creative or avant-garde. And he's an intergalactic cultural exchange officer from Arcturus Antares. Arcturus is a galactic way station. It's a galactic system of intergalactic cultural exchange, the kind of the intergalactic cultural exchange capital and showcase world where they showcase all their great ideas, everything from spirituality to scientific to technology, artistic things especially. Rokon, it's kind of almost looks like when he come bounding up on the stage, he kind of reminds me of Liberace a little bit because he's very flamboyant with his robe and his all the rings and all the stuff he's wearing. But he just likes lots of color. He's a very colorful outfit he's wearing, and he'll come bounding onto the stage, and he likes to introduce people to new ideas, to new culture, to being very avant-garde. And he tries to bring out the beauty and the sacredness of life, the aesthetics. He likes to emphasize this because he says the joy, the juice of life is very important. He works a lot with the silver ray, the ray of joy and celebration. In fact, when I do my color meditation, which I often do, I also have another thing I'm going to do called the color meditation, cosmic color activation, a meditation tape, a CD that I'm going to make available too and take you through the colors. Color is a very powerful activating force, and he works a lot with colors, especially from an artistic point of view. So when you're trying to come up with some great new ideas, call on Rokon. And he will introduce you to new ideas, very avant-garde ideas. He enjoys introducing, just like being many of you were before this life when you were part of intergalactic culture exchange programs, of which Earth has been culturally quarantined for eons because of the warlike nature of the people that have been living here, specifically the leaders. Well, that cultural quarantine is about to be lifted, and he's very excited about it because he's going to be part of the group of ships coming here, openly landing when the time is right, to open up and introduce people when we're allowed to travel to the other planets. In a series of contacts, which some call first contact, which I have always called a secret wave of evacuations. Ashtar has talked about this for many years. So when you're opening up to creative ideas and being open to your mind, expand your mind, Lord Rokan, R-O-W-C-A-N is how you would spell his name in modern English, he is a specialist. So when you want, you know, a specialist, call in the specialist. He also is connected with a group of cosmic realtors, many people who are in the process of moving. I always say call in the specialist. We have cosmic realtors. Every time that I've ever made a move and through the years, and I'm trying to get the best for the, you know, the least price, so to speak, the best situation where I need to be based, I'll call in the Rokan and the cosmic realtors, and they actually open up many doors. So this is just a few this week. Part one of Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory. And the coming week, I'm going to be on part two, continuing to cover other members of Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory. And I hope that you've enjoyed this presentation. I always enjoy introducing, reintroducing everybody to who our friends are, our friends upstairs, as I like to refer to them, space brothers and sisters, beings who have a lot of love for this planet. And I'm going to, again, I want to mention, give our phone number here for those that would like to call, who want to get copies of this, of which you're going to be presenting. Three parts to the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory. You want to get other copies of it, you're welcome. Also, I'm open to being sponsored for our workshops and classes. I enjoy sharing this information. The masters enjoy having themselves be introduced to you. And I really believe that most everybody that I connect with through this work who becomes aware of the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, I believe that you had links with these beings. And not just some strange alien being or master in some other realm or world. They're reintroducing themselves to people like myself as a contactee, as a channel, having been trained, as I said, in the Edgar Cayce tradition when my father helped to activate me. And initially when I did the original type of readings, they're very karmic like Edgar Cayce. And then in 1979 when I was taken physically aboard the second time, aboard the Merkaba, and I was activated, my DNA RNA was altered by the Elohim to do this specific type of work I do now. It's a really wonderful thing. They have the opportunity to share, to make you be aware of how many of our extended cosmic family exists out there. And I think that most of the people I connect with are many times the cosmic sons and daughters of some very high, powerful beings out there. And when I say high and powerful, I'm talking about their level of love and their compassion and their influence on helping to change and helping to transform a planet. So I really enjoy providing people with a cosmic support team. And they don't like, one of the things that they like to emphasize is interdependence, as I said earlier, not codependency. They're a backup team, but they emphasize self-sufficiency. And here on Achieve Radio and these shows that we do, we like to emphasize empowerment, you know, personal responsibility, personal integrity. But it's always nice to know, without being too redundant, that we do have a group of beings, a vast spiritual hierarchy of beings, as I call the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, who have a lot of love, who have a lot of care, and are going to be stepping here more overtly here right away because they don't like the fact that free will is getting out of hand, that Mother Earth's very survival is at stake. And they emphasize green technology, just as Gary talks about on progressive technology in his show. Well, that's what they emphasize, and they're overshadowing many New Age inventors. People like Nikola Tesla in the past was very much connected with them, who are, in fact, from those realms, who came to this planet on a mission, as all of the great inventors who came here to help humanity. They emphasize a technology that's user-friendly to Earth, that is a green technology. That's where the future of technology is going now. And finally, people are starting to come around something that's so basic. And it's not rocket science, it's not brain surgery, it's just basic to the other worlds that anything that they're involved in is user-friendly and also very joyous. It's very aesthetic pleasing, it's uplifting, and that's the thing that all these beings bring forth to inspire you, to elevate you, and that you too become a member of the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory. Many of you are who have listened to this show and who have gotten a copy of this presentation. And so it's time to really awaken and expand our minds, expand our consciousness, and to be aware of the fact that we are part of an intergalactic system of worlds who care about us, and we'll be stepping in more overtly in the coming time. So I want you to open your hearts, open your minds, open your consciousness, and welcome in these beings who are members of the Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, And again, if the, you can call 480-596-8440 or my cell phone 310-800-8448. You can also check out my web, me at channelforthemasters.com. And we have a lot of other information there as well. So until next week, keep your eyes on the skies.
Beginning of time, man has sought always to achieve more, and finally we have AchieveRadio.com, the positive side of broadcasting.
Every once in a while, you just want to get a different perspective, a different way of looking at the issues in your life. Well, they can help you with that at Light the Way. Hey, it's Steve Marshall from Interviews with Kimmy and Steve here on AchieveRadio.com. And you may listen to the show here on Achieve Radio, and you hear Kimmy and I take your phone calls and all of that. But if you want to get a personal reading with Kim, call this number. Write it down, 734-854-1514. That's the number over to Light the Way. They also have a website, LITETheWay.com, LightTheWay.com. Whether you want to get a psychic reading, you want to learn more about Reiki, or you want to buy the tarot deck, they can take care of you at Light the Way. Now, if you're in the Southeast Michigan, Northwest Ohio area, they're in Lambertville, right off Secor and Stearns. Give them a call, 734-854-1514. Set up your personal reading with Kim or Carolyn or anybody else at Light the Way. And, of course, check out everything they've got online, Light the Way, L-I-T-E, the way.com.
Hi there, Dr. Mo here. Here's what some people are saying about my new book, The Voice, A Metaphor for Personal Development. I found this book to be absolutely captivating. The storyline is creative, adventurous, and thought-provoking, with a spiritual thread woven throughout. Dr. Jamal has created the perfect metaphor for focusing humanity's awareness on ancient cosmic truths and enlightenment. The Voice is a captivating story that engages the reader at many different levels and has the potential to awaken even the most sleepy soul's consciousness. This galactic tale is spun magically and wisely so that it entertains as well as teaches. The Voice enables us to see life as a journey towards spiritual growth and healing. The Voice, now available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
This is Nancy Zilversmith, your host on Outside the Box on Sunday nights. Join us for our new two-hour format as I deliver messages from Spirit, share experiences about the spirit realms, what the relationship to humanity really means, and much, much more. And you know what? Those of you who've had experiences with Spirit might just find out you're not crazy after all on Outside the Box on Sunday nights on Achieve Radio.
You're listening to AchieveRadio.com, the positive side of broadcasting.